one of us. Let me introduce you to some people in the Bible that never gave up. They had an attribute of stick-to-itness. Now, one of the people that we're going to talk about, and I've taught the kids, so I'm going to probably teach you some of these stories the way that I would teach the kids. But one of them would be Peter. And one of the interesting things, if you said, Peter, what did he stick to? Well, the truth was, Peter was a very well-known disciple of Jesus. And you know, Jesus even said to him, he said, you're going to deny me. He said, you're really going to mess up, Peter. You're going to deny me not once and not twice, but three times. And before the crow, and it would be like a chicken or a rooster, would crow, you're going to deny me. And Peter was like, I am not going to deny you. I am sticking to the program. I've been with you through thick and thin, and why would I give up now? But we all know the end of the story, that he really, really did deny Jesus, didn't he? And he wept really bitterly when that happened. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I really messed up. How many of us have really had that in our life where we go, yeah, we got hands going up now, honey. The truth is, if everybody told the truth, your hand would go up. Because every single person, no matter whether you want to admit it or put your hand up, which most of the time we don't want to do, we've all messed up. Put your hand up. In Acts 2, we see that Peter gave his first sermon after Jesus ascended to heaven to a crowd of thousands of people that actually saw him mess up. So how would you like to give a message to people and you said, oh no, I'm never going to deny you, Jesus. And then he's right there and he has to speak to them. Some leaders may fail, but they have to have the courage to keep going. They pick themselves back up and they continue on. And to say what Tommy Reed had said last week, they continue the dream. So I thought I'd have to tell you just a little bit about Peter. He might have messed up, but man, did he give a good sermon. Right after he messed up, Jesus went to heaven. He got right back in his lane and he started preaching. Let me tell you about Joseph. These are all the stories that I really think the kids need to know all these stories, so I'm teaching you some of them. The story of Joseph begins in Genesis 37, and it's a really powerful story. Joseph, he was a pretty tough guy. He was well-loved, and his father, in fact, said that he was his absolute favorite son. How would you like to have that? The stepsons, they knew that the youngest, Joseph, was the very favorite. And because of that, they had an enormous jealousy towards Joseph. So they really didn't like the kid. He was about 17 years old, and they thought about killing him. His brothers thought, you know what, we're just going to get rid of this kid. We really can't stand him. Our father loves him the best, so we're going to kill him. Well, thank God, one of the brothers said, no, let's just stick him in a pit. We'll throw him in the pit, and we'll leave him there. And that's what they did. They threw him in the pit, and they left him there. He didn't stay there because they decided when a caravan came by, you know, one of the best things would be, let's just sell him to them. Let's make him a slave and let's still get rid of the kid. And so they went back and told the aged father, guess what happened to Joseph? He got killed by a very wild animal and here's blood all over his clothes. They had manufactured and put blood from an animal on it and the guy was old, the father. He didn't even know what had happened. And he was so sad because his favorite son was dead, he thought. But the brothers were really happy because they got rid of the kid. They didn't have to look at him anymore. And you know what? If that was the end of the story and the kid went into slavery, into Egypt, we would think, what a really sad story. You know, why would that happen in the Bible? But that's not the end of the story. Because Joseph began to really perform in the way that God had intended, and he read dreams. He could interpret dreams, things that people dreamed, and that was a gift that God gave him. And because he could do that, he became very useful in Pharaoh's world, Pharaoh would ask him to interpret dreams. Some other things happened to him. People lied about him. People told stories about him. Does that not sound like things happen nowadays as well? People don't tell the truth. And he got in prison. So there he is in prison, and guess what happened to him? He started interpreting dreams again, a gift that God gave him. He never gave up. He kept doing what God told him to do, and that's what his gift was. Well, because he continued in what God's gift was, he got out of prison, he went back, and he was in Pharaoh's house, and it says that he was the master of all the house. A bad famine came into the land, and guess who was in charge of all the food? Joseph. He got to tell who got food and who didn't, and who do you suppose came to get food? His brothers. His brothers didn't even know who he was. I'm sure by then he'd grown into a nice-looking young man. He wasn't a 17-year-old kid. And it said, Joseph tells his brothers when he sees them and they needed food, he said, God orchestrated these events, and what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And isn't that true? What people want for evil for us, if we stick to the program, if we continue to use the gifts that God's given us, with Joseph it was a dream, don't give up. Leaders have a vision that sustains them through difficult times, and they never give up. We shouldn't give up either, because we're all leaders. And these stories that I just told you, they're stories about Bible times, and sometimes you think, oh man, those are Bible stories, you know? Does this really happen for real people? And it really does. I'm just going to touch on a couple. Think of Henry Ford. When Henry Ford was inventing and believing in his assembly plant and making American cars, he wasn't really successful to begin with. In fact, in his early business days, he was broke 5 times. How would you like to say that? I tried, but I was really broke 5 times. How many of you know Macy's department store? I do. Yeah, the women. Yep, some of the girls got their hands up. I know Macy's is probably one of my favorite stores. Yeah, amen, sister. R.H. Macy. I guess there really was a Mr. Macy. So most people are familiar with this large department store. But Macy didn't always have it this easy. Macy started 7 failed businesses before hitting it with Macy's department store. Think of Bill Gates. Everybody knows Bill Gates. But it didn't seem like a shoe-in for success after he dropped out of Harvard and he started his first failed business. For him, it was failed, which was Microsoft. While this early idea didn't work for Gates, the later one really did. So we got to know what a success he is now in Microsoft. But I guess his first attempt with his business partner, Paul Allen, didn't work. And then Albert Einstein, do you know that they thought he was handicapped? He was such a genius that at first he was thought, and his parents thought, because he didn't talk, he ended up to be a genius. And he really is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and he changed the face of physics. Walt Disney. Who doesn't know Walt Disney? Walt Disney rakes in millions from merchandise and movies and his theme park. But at first they said he lacked imagination. That's true. After that, Disney started a number of businesses, but it didn't take too long that most of them ended with bankruptcy and failure. But he plugged into what really his gift was, and his gift was imagination. Can you imagine being told, you have no imagination? What if he would have believed what was told about him? What if you believed everything that somebody said about you? Let me have you watch this video.
Dismissed from drama school with a note that read, wasting her time, she's too shy to put her best foot forward. Turned down by the Decca Recording Company, who said, we don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. A a failed soldier, farmer, and real estate agent. At 38 years old, he went to work for his father as a handyman. Cut from the high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. A teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything, and he should go into a field where he might succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Fired from a newspaper because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas. His fiancée died, he failed in business twice, he had a nervous breakdown, and he was defeated in 8 elections. If you've never failed, you've never lived.
That's such a great video. I hope that each of you remember that when you come up against a challenge, because every single person in here is going to face a challenge. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe next week or maybe next month. And maybe you're overcoming challenges right now. But don't give up, because you need to keep going. So let me introduce you to somebody. Somebody that you think you know, and somebody you've watched, you might even have copied, and you might even admire, but somebody that you'll never know like I know. He's been a friend to me, and I'm not going to cry because I've read this a million times. He's been a friend to me and a lifelong partner. He's been by my side when I was frightened, and I had emergency surgery when I had Ben. I watched his eyes, and I needed to know that it would be okay, and you know it was. This was the beginning, and then came Ryan, who was absolutely wonderful. He was perfect in every way, but he cried both night and day. Garrett came sometime later, but he was the joy of the family. Same thing, all 3 surgeries, but my partner was there, along with many of you that actually are sitting here. And I was thinking about Chuck and Cheryl and Aaron, who definitely spoiled Garrett, maybe more than we did. So this was the start of a family that didn't give up. I have to tell you about the time when we moved into this very old farmhouse, and some of you might even remember where it is, and it's not where we live now, but this was my dream house. Not necessarily Marty's. Soon after we moved in, the west wall caved in, the well pump broke, and this was in the middle of winter. In my heart, I really wasn't worried because I knew Marty would take care of it. I didn't know how, but I knew that he would. We worked together hand in hand, and you can see all the pictures. Hand in hand, all the family, even our 3 little boys, as a family. When we moved out of that house, it was not new, it was not remodeled. But it was neat, it was painted, it was cleaned, it was trimmed yard. But it wasn't new. It was a wonderful family home. And you see, we didn't give up. And I want to tell you guys, when I'm telling these stories, I'm thinking of certain people that not to give up. We moved to Washington State to start a new life. And we enjoyed a couple of really great months, and then times got tough. We had to evaluate where we were. We had to make an immediate plan. And we had to make a plan to make it. Let me say that again. We had to make a plan to make it. We had to, in one weekend, make a plan. That's important. You can't make it as a family unless you make up your minds to make it. At the moment, we couldn't go backwards. What do you think? We couldn't stand still, and we had to evaluate where we are at that point, and we had to make a plan to move forward. We had 3 kids that were watching us, depending on us, and knowing that we were in a position of crisis. We had to depend on God. Let me go back and say, we had to depend on God and commit to each other and not to blame each other. But we had to work together to make it. In the beginning, I said our plan was to start a new life, and we did. But our plan, what we thought was going to be our plan in life, was not God's plan. But, you know, we didn't give up. All the previous stories are just times of preparation for a much larger project. We had no idea when we were moving to Seattle that we would be moving back and starting a much bigger project, a dream project of Marty McDonald and the others in leadership at this church. This church is not new. Remember what I told you about our old house? It's not new. It's not a new building. It's been rebuilt with finances and the commitment of many, many, many people. We have all had to persevere. We've all had to work together, and all of us, we just couldn't give up. One person could not accomplish what's been done over these 16 years since the church started. And I'm talking about church, not as in this building, but in general, the body of the city church. There's been pressures, there's been financial pressures, there's been people challenges, and there have been many obstacles. We would not be sitting here today if we gave up. And I don't mean us, I mean we. Now, let me skip forward. I look forward to every day waking up to my lifelong partner next to me. I come home. Yeah, that is us. I come home every day looking forward to seeing my lifelong partner. We get to do what we like the most. We work together, we minister together, and we spend time with our family, our boys, their wives, and our grandchildren. What a wonderful time we have. We travel together, we have dates together, and we enjoy each other. And I'm just going to interject, please make sure you guys do that with your families as well. It's kind of just a hint about enjoying life. What would we do if we ever gave up? What would we do? Trust me, there's been plenty of times that when you look back, you think I could have given up. But we didn't give up. I don't want to. This person and my partner is somebody I depend on. I've learned that I can count on. He never gives up. He loves me and he loves our family with all his heart. And that includes the family of God right here in City Church. And we will still never give up. Okay, let me breathe. I'm telling you just a few examples of the person that I've learned to depend on. But one thing I want you to remember most is you can never give up. Never. Tommy Reed said last Sunday, he said, never, ever, ever stop dreaming. And I'm going to add, never, ever, ever give up. When you feel like giving up, remember why you held on so long in the first place. Between you and every goal that you wish to achieve, there's a series of obstacles. And the bigger the goal, the bigger the obstacle. Your decision to be and have and do something out of the ordinary means facing difficulties and challenges that are out of the ordinary as well. Sometimes your greatest asset is simply your ability to stay with it longer than anybody else. And these are all quotes from people. Saints are sinners who just keep going on. And then the last one. When the world says to you, give up, hope whispers, try it one more time.
She's trying to run out on me. So here's what came to me when I was sitting there, and I told Mom, if you join me in a minute, we're all going to pray on Dad's birthday. But the scripture came to me, and I could almost hear someone saying, how do you not give up? How do you continue on? Because Let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of people give up in my adult years. You know, when you're younger, you don't pay as much attention. But as you get older and you're married and you're having kids, for me, pay attention a lot more. And the scripture came to me, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll walk and not faint. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Those that wait upon the Lord. And I remember, I was talking with Roger Kenning. I call him Uncle Rod. And I was explaining to him something that I was going through in my life. And when I was sitting there, I could hear his words as soon as Mom started telling the story. Man, I could tell you times where, you know, again, and she went through some of them. Things were bad. Things were ugly. Things looked nasty. I mean, you guys know the stories of your lives. And we're no different. And but those that wait upon the Lord, and that's what you're doing tonight. Don't ever take for granted, oh, I went to church Thursday night. You know, it's just another night. You know, I went to church on Sunday. It's not just another night. It's your night. So let's pray. Would you, Dad, would you come up and anyone who wants to pray with me, make your way down here. I want to see every elder down at this altar right now. He asked me where I want them. Well, okay, Dad. Lord, we just thank you tonight for... We just thank you for destiny. We thank you for... God, we thank you that last week that there was a deposit made by your servant, by a leader, by a bishop over this house. Father, we just ask that all those dreams, those plans that you have would come to pass in our pastor's life. God, we just ask that the best years are yet to come. Father, I just pray against every device of the enemy, Father, that you would begin to build that shield for months and years to come, that the most grandest days, that the most beautiful of days are ahead. God, we thank you for what you've brought them through and what you've seen them through. Father, we thank you that you're faithful. That Father, we thank you that you're just. We thank you for your righteousness. Father, that we thank you that you look to the heart. We thank you that we don't have to be perfect. We have to be willing. So tonight we just ask you for that hedge of protection. We thank you for healing in his body. We thank you for long life. We thank you for those dreams again. Father, we just bless him now as the leaders are here, as the elders are here. We bless him now. Father, we just ask for great things. And Father, we just ask that there be more that would rise up in this place and take leadership roles, and that it would ease the burden on him, that would carry the cloak, carry the mission, the vision, the dream of this house. And that there wouldn't be a different dream that would be brought in, but Father, there would be people who would want to follow, that would want to carry the vision. We thank you that you've made it plain, that you've made it easy to see. God, we thank you for salvations in this house. Father, we thank you that in the years to come, the salvations will just be, there'll be documents of it. It'll be unheard of, the amount of salvations that come out of this place. And we give you thanks, Father, tonight. We give you all the glory.
Father, I thank you for this man of God, Father. I thank you for his vision and his leadership. I just, Lord, that you bless him, that you anoint him, Father, through the coming years. And Father, that we fulfill your destiny for this area, Father, and for the growth that comes before. Lord, I thank you for this church body. I thank you for this group of people here tonight, Father. For they know they are loved by this man of God here, Father. But let him know, Father, that he is also loved, Father. And Lord, I thank you for his leadership. I thank you for his time. I thank you for his counsel. I just thank you, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you bless him at this time in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for the anointing you've put on our pastor. And Father, we thank you for the heart you've given him to love people. And Jesus, we thank you for what he's done. He laid his life down and he sacrificed it to you. And Father, I ask your blessing of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, Lord, that you bless him in the morning, in the noon, and the night. Whatever he puts his hand to, Lord, bless it. And when he rises up and when he lays down, let the blessing of the Lord be upon him. Now, Father, we thank you for him. And Lord, again, as we pray for many more years that he can serve you and bring many people into the kingdom of God and many souls into the Lord's house. And I thank you, Lord, for the life, I go say it again, that he's laid down for you. Now, Lord, bless him abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen.